microphone. He messes with my golf swing when we're on the golf course. Joe, thank you very much. Okay, as our gentlemen are finishing collecting your offering, we're going to go ahead and get a little bit of a head start on our sermon thoughts this morning. We are in the midst of a study called All In for 2020. Well, 2020 All In. I'll get it right before we're done with our series. It's one of those things that we're trying to ask you four questions. And one of the questions we want to talk about this morning is what as individuals, and then in a broader sense, what as a church are we doing with our resources? And how are we honoring God with what He has blessed us with? Again, from an individual standpoint, and then most certainly from a corporate standpoint. And so we'll wrestle with that for the next few minutes as we continue to ask that question, how much are you in? And hopefully you are all in this year. Wednesday is my favorite day of the week. It is the most exhausting day, but Wednesday is my favorite day of the week. Wednesday starts with ladies' Bible class, and so we get all these wonderful women in and out of our office, and then they go and they study, and I get some peace and quiet for an hour where it's just Michael and I, and we really like just Michael and I. And so we get a little peace and quiet in the office, and then 11 o'clock comes, and it's crazy the rest of the day, and we get to the meal, and we get a fellowship around tables, and we get to laugh and talk, and by the time I'm done serving and helping out on the line, then I'm visiting at the tables, and then I try to go watch our kids. And I was watching our kids 3 weeks ago, and one dad had a big old smile on his face. And that dad usually doesn't have a smile on his face, and so I thought, I better figure out what's going on. And so I stand next to that dad, and he says, I want you to look at my son. I said, okay. And he is sharing. You know that little scooter thing they all ride? You know, we only have two, and only one works good. And so the kids have to share. And so the dad says, he shared the scooter. And I say, well, that's pretty cool, because he doesn't usually like to share the scooter. And so here was the dad who was all proud that his boy was using the lessons they'd been working on. And so I asked a little more, well, what do you guys discuss on the way home, and how have you taught him to share? And he says, well, every Wednesday night we go home, and I say, well, son, why did we not share with the other kids? And he's got this reason and that reason. And finally, he is willing to do what his father and his mother have been asking him for weeks and months to do. And it brought a smile upon the father's face. I think there are moments when we do what we are supposed to do, when we live by values that don't make sense to the world, that it brings a smile upon the father's face. And I want us to wrestle with that a little bit. Because what we're going to talk about this morning is kind of about stewardship, but it's about more than that. But it's about just living by values the world doesn't get, and by using our resources in a way the world never would. Let's begin with a short little parable from Jesus, from Luke chapter 16. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? For no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay, that's one of those sermons, and preachers don't like to preach on giving, and this sermon has only got giving as a portion of it, but this sermon is all about giving. And it's not just of a wallet, and it's not just of resources, it's of much more than that. But I think we need to see from this text about being God's steward. And a big part of this is it is God and us working together. See, stewardship is God's ownership and my partnership. One of the things we've tried to teach in our house is that everything we have came from God and belongs to God. And it doesn't matter if people think we get it from jobs that are well done where we earn a salary, or if we get it as a gift, or as we get it of any other way you might get it, it still is God's. And we've tried to instill that as much as humanly possible to say that it is God's right to do whatever He wants with it. And that hopefully that has soaked in to all of those around us. Because the Bible clearly says that it's God's anyway. You've got Psalm chapter 50, verse 10. It says, "The animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." You have Job 41, verse 11, where God says at the end of a pretty lengthy discussion, "Who has a claim against me that I must pay? For everything in heaven belongs to me." Or Psalm 24, that begins with, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Or Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, that reads, "To the Lord your God belongs the heavens." See, I think we can get an idea from four quick scriptures that we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on, is that it's God's anyway. And I need to realize that. Then I need to realize who I am is God's anyway. And what God agrees to do is he agrees to go into partnership with me in regard to his resources. So God is basically saying to us, here is what I'm going to give you. And we're going to talk about some things, and it's far more than just money. Let me say that first. But God is going to say, here are the things I'm going to give you, and we're going to work together on this. And we forget partnership with ownership, because we think it all belongs to us. We think the house belongs to us, and we think the cars belong to us, and we think the bank accounts belong to us, and we think the time belongs to us, and we think one of a thousand things is ours to keep. And I think what God wants to say through his word is it's his to use through us. And I think we need to figure that out. See, stewardship is this divine trust. It is God saying, here is what I want to give to you, but I want you to use what I've given you to make the world a better place. Okay, that's why I love the generation of our young people. Is their desire is to make the world a better place. And you may not always agree with them, and you may not agree with their political views, or you may not agree with how they go about their faith, but one of the things they want the world to be is better than when they left it. And I think that's powerful. And that's the understanding of stewardship. Because stewardship says, whatever I've got, I'm going to use for the kingdom. See, too often we have personal agendas. We have a plan in our life. Here's what I want to do, and here's where I want to be, and here's how much money I want to have saved up by the time I'm 60, and here's where I want to live when I retire, and here's what I want to be doing, and here's when I want to go. And when we fill in all of these things thinking, this is my plan and this is my agenda. And what I hope we can see this morning is if we are all in 2020, it's no longer our agenda. Now, it's not my agenda as the preacher, it's God's agenda. And we've got to realize that. Matthew 6, verse 21 says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." That's one of those lines that is kind of tough, and really the whole Sermon on the Mount is pretty tough to me. But you get to that line, and he's going to start talking about worry and all of those things that come at the middle and the end of chapter 6. And there's that line that says, "Where your treasure is, your heart is." Because whatever this is concerned about is where this is going. And if this is concerned about making more money, then it's going to do everything it can to make more money. And if this is concerned about getting a bigger home, then it's going to do whatever it can to get a bigger home. And if this is concerned about using time to make the world a better place, then guess what? It's going to use time to make a better place. And so we've got to realize that we are stewards of all of these things. Another verse that to me is a little bit haunting is Luke 14, verse 33, where Jesus says, "Anyone who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." So I'm asking myself, what things do I not want to give up? And it's threefold. There are moments when I don't want to give up the talents God has given me. Okay, the other day somebody asked me, he said, "Why do you preach? You don't make much money preaching. Why do you do that?" And I said, "Well, I think it's what I'm good at, and I don't think I could do anything else. I don't think I'm good at much else. I could maybe teach a little kid how to swing a golf club, and that's about the extent of what I think I can do in this world. So I'm going to do it." It wasn't necessarily from the vantage point of God gave me this talent and this ability, I ought to give it back to the world. It might have been from a more selfish place, as this is the only way I can make a buck. And I hope it's not that way. And I pray every day that it's not that way. But I think all of us need to realize that we serve faithfully with a lot of things. The first thing is with the talents that God has given us. See, part of being a steward is to realize that God has given us many things. One of the things He's given us is He's given us the talents that we have. And everybody in this room has got something they're good at. They might be great song leaders, or they might be great encouragers, or they might be great card writers. I'm trying to see if she's here. She's been under the weather. I love to get a card. There she is. I love to get a card from Glenna Bertola. Because Glenna Bertola writes the best. Almost everybody in this room has probably got a card from Glenna Bertola. And it's this sweet note, and it's heartfelt, and it's loving, and it's kind. And I see her writing in my mailbox, and instantly, whatever the day was, it's gotten substantially better. We've all got abilities to use for the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I think that is Paul's way at the end of a prayer saying, here's what God can do. Or before he gives the prayer of here's what God can do, saying, here's who we are. And he's going to say earlier in that, we're saved by grace through faith. But then he's going to say in verse 10, here's what we are. We are God's workmanship created for something good. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all of men. See, God gave us gifts to bless the body with. I'll say that again. God gave you gifts to bless the body with. That He's looked at you and He's created you in His image and He's endowed you with certain gifts that you have or certain talents or certain traits. And He said, here is what you've got. Now use it. Can I pick on you for a second? Okay, Kent's in a couple of bands. You know, he plays that big old stand-up bass for a couple of different groups. Could you make any money doing that? No? Well, never mind. Okay, so Kent is going to be a popper who plays the bass. Now, the truth is, as good as Kent is, he could go to Hollywood or New York City and do whatever he wanted to do and probably make a good deal of money if his wife would let him, but his wife won't let him. But the point is he would be foolish to say, I'm a great musician, why should I not ever use that? But he realizes that's what God has given him, because what God has given us matters. And what you can do in the body of Christ matters. Let me say that again. Some of you are saying, well, I can't preach. Or I could never stand up and lead songs. Or I couldn't teach a Bible class. Or I couldn't. You might fill in 100 blanks. But you need to know that what you do matters to the cause. And if you are all in, then whatever it is you are good at, you do for the kingdom of God. And you do it with all of your heart. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4. He says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Remember that line right in the middle? To serve others. Now that's not just the people in this room. Serving others is anybody we're going to come in contact with. And one of the things that we've been trying to preach the last few months is if we're going to be the church in this place, then we're going to be a place that we meet here for a little bit, and then we go out and we're the church everywhere we go. And that we've got to realize it's more than just sitting in a room and meeting, and it's more than just experiencing worship together. It's something about taking the cause of Christ outside of what we do here. And so much of using our talents and using our gifts is ministry that goes on outside of these doors. So what if you can't lead songs? Can you be nice to someone in the world? I'm pretty sure most of you, not all of you, but most of you can do that. Is it going out into the world and being kind and being loving and being able to tell the story of when Jesus kind of moved into your life and altered things? All of us have been there. And those are all talents that we can share with the world around us. But the second thing is we also have to be stewards of our time. The parables have a line that shows up often. Jesus will say in many parables, the master could show up at any moment. Let me ask you for a second, what do you do with your time? Okay, most of you are starting to think this. If you're of working age, you say, I go to work at 8 and I get up at 5, which I have found very few people actually do. So let's amend it to probably what workaholics tend to do. I go in at 7 and I get home at 6. Well, there's a big chunk that's gone. And I got to sleep a little bit, so there's a chunk that's gone. What do you do with your time? Okay, I'm almost OCD into time management because I'm scared to death I'm going to lose a minute. Because everything matters. My concern is, here's what happens with our time. Well, I've given work this block, and I've given sleep this block, and I got 4 hours left. My wife's going to want some of that. My kid's going to want some of that. My golf game's going to want some of that. The TV's going to want some of that. Some recreational activities are going to want some of that. This is going to want some of that. And before we know it, we have taken our time and we have left God out of it. Okay, I want to encourage you. Drop a TV show for 30 minutes and read your Bible. Drop a TV show for 30 minutes and go to the nursing home and walk the halls and visit a little bit. Drop the TV show for 30 minutes and have somebody over to your house and have conversations across the table. Drop the TV show for a minute and come in and find out where we need help in the body of Christ and realize that we don't have a lot of time. And so we need to make some things priorities. See, I've noticed in my life when there's not enough time, I put first things first, right? I mean, we put those things that we think are the most important in our lives, we make that the centerpiece. Okay, so on Tuesdays and Fridays, one of the centerpieces is often, needs to be my family. And so I look at my calendar and say, okay, as soon as I get out of work on Friday, I can't even say what day it's going to be. On Tuesday, I want to figure out how I'm going to get Jonah off and this and this and this, and I'm going to go have lunch with Nikki, and we're going to, where do I put God in the midst of that? Paul says in Romans 13, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Our salvation, notice what he says, is nearer now than when we first believed. Okay, let me paraphrase that. There's a little less time than there was yesterday. And we need to live like that. Okay, I don't wear cowboy boots, but I love country music. And one of my favorite country songs is probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years old now. But it's a song called Live Like You Were Dying. And it's the 40-year-old, see all you guys, we'll have Kent singing here in a little bit, and singing after church, that might be more appropriate. And so the 40-year-old goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you're dying. He says, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And what's unfortunate in the midst of a kind of a pretty country song is there's never a line about God, which I wish there was. But in the midst of that country song, it's all of these things he needs to get done because he won't have enough time to finish them if he doesn't start now. What is it you need to do now? What is it you need to do in your families? What is it you need to do with those who are around you who are lost? We've got to learn to live in a future tense that says, tomorrow might not be here, and so I need to make the best use of what God has given me now. And sometimes the best use of that is going to be serving others. And sometimes the best use of that is going to be loving on our family. And sometimes the best use of that is going to be one of 100 other things God might say through His Word. But we've got to realize that our time is as important as our talents. And as the third thing is our treasure. There are a lot of things I can do with my time that I can't do with my money. See, our tendency is we need ministry done in this church, so let's throw money at it. You know, if I give $100, or if I give $1,000, or if I give $1,000,000, we could have a ministry to the poor, or we could have a soup kitchen, or we could have a homeless shelter, or we could support missionaries here and here and here. And so what I've done is I've looked at the problems in the world, and I've said, well, here's the easiest way to do it that doesn't involve much sacrifice other than my pocketbook. And so I throw money at it and say, well, that's good enough. And I think God wants us to say, that's not just good enough. And not that he doesn't want us to put money to the cause. We're going to talk about that in a second. But that he wants us to realize if we got a talent to do something about it, then let's do something about it. And if we got the time to do something about it, then let's take the time and let's do something about it. Okay, I haven't felt good the last couple of weeks, so when I do get home, there's this little thing called Netflix, and I've been binge-watching a show about these chefs. And I got to thinking as I was binge-watching this show yesterday that I had spent, that Nikki went and worked Habitat for Humanity, and then she did the grocery store run and got her nails done and then did another grocery store run, and all I did was sit there, theoretically with a Bible in my lap, but I sat there watching 10 different episodes of chefs all around the nation. That's 5 hours. That's time I could have been studying, or that's time I could have been helping out with Habitat, or that's time I could have been doing something and again, I know there are times we need to relax, and I know there are times we need to decompress, and it's not about that, but it's about looking at our time and saying, what really matters the most? Okay, now let's talk about the elephant in the room. We got time, we got talent, and then we got treasure. In the Old Testament, the temple was the clearinghouse. It's where you brought the first fruits. And if you were Jewish, living under that age, you would come and you would bring your tithe and your offering, and you would present it at the temple. The New Testament calls the clearinghouse the church. It's hard for preachers to preach on giving, because I don't want you to think I'm asking for a raise. I don't want a raise. I don't need any more money. But I think you need to give. And you need to give from a place that says, this is God's anyway. I almost split the offering away from the sermon. I thought, oh, it's hard on deacons, and so I didn't do it. What we just did 15 minutes ago was a privilege. Some of you looked at it as a duty. Some of you looked at writing a check or doing the PayPal or whatever it is that you can do online as the same equivalent as when you write your house payment and when you write your car payment. And you say, I owe Pioneer Bank for my house, and I own Ford for my car, and I owe the city of Roswell for my water, and I own Excel for my electricity, and I owe God for the church. And we put it in a column of bills. And I think we're missing something. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. It's an honor for the King of the world to say, here's what I've given you, now I want you to give it back. And I want you to realize that what I've given you is mine anyway, and we need to remember a few things. Okay, when you give, the first thing I want you to remember is it opens the door to God's blessing. Okay, now hear a scripture for a second, and then let me correct what you think I'm going to say. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. That is in the midst of two chapters on giving. Okay, there are preachers in our world who will say, when you give, it opens the door for God to give you more. You will never hear that from me. You will hear, when you give, it opens the door for God's blessing. That doesn't mean if you'll give $100 now, you're going to get a raise when you go to work tomorrow. And it doesn't mean if you're one of our little kids and you drop a quarter in from as high as you can get it, that you're going to find two quarters on the floor on the way home. What it means is if you give, God is going to bless. And I think the greatest way he blesses us is with a heart and with the understanding that we've just done something wonderful for the cause of Christ. Second thing is when we give, it guards against idolatry. Matthew 6:24, again, a kind of a parent passage, a sister passage to the one we read at the very beginning, said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. How often is my stuff one of my idols? Okay, I have never once bowed down to a statue. I have never once gone to a jewelry store and said, would you build me a calf that I can bow, or would you build me a totem pole, or would you build me some image of God that I can make sacrifices to? But there have been times when my wallet has been my idol. And there have been times when I thought, look at what I've got, and if I can only get a little bit more, and I've let that be Lord of my life. And so when we give in a way that honors God, it guards against idolatry. But then the third thing, it advances the reign of God. See, when I give, not only is it good for me, but it's good for the rest of the world. And the rest of the world needs it far more than I do. Paul would write this to Timothy. He would say, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That's kind of an interesting line. A lot of what he's given you, he does want you to enjoy. Command them, though, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share, for in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they might take hold of the life that is truly life. Okay, I have a friend who, for a lack of a better term, is, we would consider him wealthy. He makes more money in a month than I'd make in a few years. He's good at his job. But he lives like I do. Here's a man who could have the biggest house in town, and he doesn't have the biggest house in town. Here's a man who could have a whole fleet of fancy cars in his garage, but he chooses to have one nice car. Here is a man who could dress in jewelry and buy a girlfriend jewelry and do whatever he wanted with all that he's got, and yet he chooses to live a nice life, but to honor God with what he's got. I think I could knock on his door and I could say to my friend, there's somebody at church who needs a car, and he would buy him a car. And I could knock on that same man's door and I could say, there's somebody who's about 3 or 4 months behind on their house payment and they're about to be foreclosed on, and I think he would write a check to the bank right now. Because he looks at all that he has as God's. And he says, I know it's here, and I know God has entrusted me with it, and I know there are moments I'm going to enjoy the bounty of what I'm able to make with a career, but I'm also going to realize that I need to figure out that it's about the reign of God and not just making me happy. Do we really believe that? Do we believe that all that we give is for the reign of God? That's in an individual sense. Let's talk corporate sense for a second. What do we do as Country Club Road with our treasure and our talent and our time? Are we making use of all that God has given the people of this church that comes together as the clearinghouse that then goes out to change a world? Every time I spend a buck at the church's money, I'm always thinking, am I using this for the right reason? Am I using this to advance the reign of God? Is this making a difference somewhere in the world in some form or fashion? And I think every deacon and every committee head and every elder and everybody who's got anything to do with what goes on in the life of this church needs to ask that question. But then I think we also need to ask, what are we doing with our time? Are we just wasting our time? Or are we using our time in a way that honors God? And what are we doing with our talents? See, this church has a special place within this town. And it's got people connected to it that are all through it. And we've got to realize the great talent that this church has to be God's city set on a hill in the midst of a lost world. See, God has trusted us individually and God has trusted us corporately with treasure and talent and time. And he said, go out and use them all for the glory of God. So the question this morning is, are you all in? With time? with talent, with treasure. If you need help with any of those things, elders are every door. Michael is there. I will be here. If you need us, we're here. Maybe you just need to recommit this day to using one or two or all three of those things differently than you have in the past. Then use it to advance the reign of God. If you need anything, let us know as we stand and as we sing.